This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
I'm the oldest member of Company One, so when we decided that we wanted to start this thing,
it's been tough.
I think I'm searching for something.
All sorts of things.
Fixation, passion.
The real time and the unreal time.
And then we moved to Boston and we ended up living in Sean's basement for a summer because we had no money.
And dealing with all the issues that Boston has.
It's been tough.
I think I'm searching for something.
All sorts of things.
Fixation, passion, and being able to see it for what it is.
Probably my greatest fear.
It's been tough.
And then I got a job as a butcher to afford the artist lifestyle.
Hello and welcome. This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. And this is a show about journeys and change and present-day life, which often feels like crossing the freeway on foot.
And coming home, which we have just done, to our house on a scruffy half acre in Sebastopol, California. Elizabeth's been gone 3 weeks. I was 5 weeks, and we were in Boston. And that's our story today.
Over the past 4 decades, our day job has been theater. And we've often created plays in collaboration with others, improvising scenes and characters before doing the final script. We don't improvise the play in performance, but it's a vehicle for part of the journey.
Well, the usual image of the writer is sit by yourself in front of a keyboard and then put your privately created sacred baby out into the world. But even the most conventional theater is still a collaborative creation, in a sense. Unless the director and writer are either tyrannical geniuses or just plain stupid, there's a great deal of give and take, trying things out, rewriting a line or a speech or a whole scene so it works better for the actor. We just take that a little farther, engaging the actor's creativity and panic right from the start.
So in the process of a very intense 5 weeks, we decided to document this process. A very familiar path for us, but a different one every time we walk it.
Company One is a group of young professionals who met in college, moved to Boston 5 years ago, and started the company. They produced our show Rash Acts a couple of years ago. I saw it and really loved the energy and the humanity of their work. So we started talking about doing a collaboration.
This is Search for the Lost City.
So, I'm in Logan Airport, Boston, and I'm going home. Arrived February 1st. Now it's 8:30 a.m., March 8th, and I am going home. I've been working with a young theater ensemble here, Company One, on a new play called Lost City, which just opened.
Lost City! Search for the lost city, and the lost city is Boston.
It's been intense. We often work with other companies, creating plays based on improvisation with the actors. Something very special happens in those collaborations. The sudden discoveries, the panic, the intense involvement in the birthing. We'd worked about 5 months on a detailed scenario that would guide our work once we came to Boston, a spine that we could then put the flesh and feathers on. But in mid-January, we all decided this scenario wouldn't fit the actual actors involved and what Company One really wanted, which was getting in on the ground floor of the ensemble process. So we shelved that plot, and on February 4th, with a title and nothing more, we started Naked. The 8 characters, the setting, the story, the script, everything emerged in 2 weeks. So, reflecting on that trip.
I'm searching for
a warm bed on a cold night.
Good fingernails.
Some way to avoid the inevitable.
I want a sister.
I'm searching for a system that's clean and pure.
Proof.
We knew the story was about searching, like in the old action-adventure genre of search for the lost city or the lost continent, driven by some kind of obsession. So we started with asking the actors, just around a microphone, Okay, what are you searching for?
I'm searching for how to be.
Searching for a reason to be.
My child.
I want to feel as present as I do when I smell eucalyptus.
Searching for the ultimate cure for a hangover.
Sunlight.
I want to swim.
So what's the process? The time frame says it's got to be a character-driven piece. It's not going to be a complicated plot. And I can see these actors can go deep, but they can also be funny. So we start the search for the characters. What's a drive or obsession that's very real in your life right now? This isn't therapy, it's creation. So imagine you're another character who has the same drive, but it's twice as much to the point where they're really on the brink of doing something about it. That's where we start with the characters. And we start where they're most naked, in their dreams. Dreams are often about searching, so start improvising dreams and the music behind dreams.
But I know at the same time, I have to look. My legs are heavy, but I walk on, down the steps, out the door.
There's a force that drives me to walk. I feel like I have no energy. I'm so tired. But I'm still walking toward that direction.
Toward a promise.
A very good promise.
It's all cloudy. But, you know, I keep pushing through. My breath tries to part the wind, and I just can't seem to reach it.
But I keep moving, and something begins to form in front of me. Something unlike anything I've ever seen. And as I reach out, I become that much closer.
He sits under a tree with a big, fat belly. He picks his nose and sneezes on everything. But I'm saying, you're not gonna get in this time. I'm ready for you. And I keep dreaming the same dream over and over. And when I say I'm ready, he never shows up. But I know he's there.
Because I can smell him. He smells like dirty undershirt.
I think I'm going to stay. Doesn't matter what, I'm going to stay here.
We're just in the first 3 days, but that's 20% of the time I have to write the script. We start embodying the characters even though we don't know anything about their life circumstances. We bring their drive into the spine, into the voice. Where is the energy centered? In the gut, in the hands, in the nose? And then we interview them. No pre-planning, the actors discover what their characters say when they say it. Here we're working several groups simultaneously.
So who raised you after that?
My grandmother and my grandfather. I came because there was an accident and they had to go away because my grandparents could take better care of me.
So if you're not in school, what is it that you do?
I work at the supermarket in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I decided I needed to get out of my house, my parents' house, that is.
Is this your first time on your own?
Not really, but it kind of is.
What was it like at your parents' house?
Oh, I mean, it was fine at my parents' house. You know, I love my parents very much, but it's, you know, I can't live with them forever, and I have to be able to kind of get out there and do things on my own. And so,
I worked at Sully's for a while, and I saved up. I don't really have much to do. I play pool for free, you know. I don't pay much because where I live. My mom, she owns a two-family, so I kind of live downstairs with a couple of my buddies.
In Austin?
No. It's down Southie. So it's a little bit of a commute, but not so bad, you know?
So is this what you want to do for a career?
No, you know, it's for now it's fine. I think right now I'm kind of in the process of getting out of here, so...
And very slowly, the characters evolve, or very rapidly, in fact. We did not have the luxury of spewing out thousands of ideas. We often grabbed the first or second impulse that emerged. But oddly, those were the most strongly charged, the ones that were done almost without thinking.
Ezra, he's a gay man from Boston who spent a lot of time in San Francisco where he was able to find a comfortable place, as far as his lifestyle and his sexuality. But his lover and best friend is in Boston, so he's torn. And then I play Sully, Ezra's lover and best friend, who's at the surface very different. Sully's a Boston boy, loves it here, very Boston, from Southie, which is a difficult place to come out. And I don't think Sully has come out as much as he just happens to have a boyfriend. But couldn't take the homosexual climate of San Francisco, move back to Boston without Ezra. The character came from all sorts of things. I'm a Boston boy, born and raised, like Sully, and I understand that person very well. But I'm also someone who's very committed to my partner, and... You know, and she's someone who I think is looking to travel. And, you know, this, in Sean's real life, she wants to find all sorts of things and travel and search. And I'm very grounded in Boston with Company One and working in the theater here and my family's here. And when we picked these characters, it was at a tumultuous time in my relationship. You know, I'm very much in love. And I very much feel like I found the right person, like Ezra speaks of. And it's very much not easy. So... my search and the search of my characters, like most pieces of theater that come from us, is not so far away.
Well, Wilma's kind of a busybody. She's always watching, paying attention, putting her foot in her mouth, but that's just who Wilma is. This character was based on women in my family, women from the South, people I've just seen in day-to-day, you know, life.
Not yet. No, Wilma. Don't be nosy. Remember the 11th commandment, keep thy mouth shut.
What I guess I connect to with her is how she's a woman who feels very deeply. And oftentimes people misinterpret that as being a busybody, but really she's someone who feels and cares about people. So I resonate with that as Michelle because I care about humanity.
And in the space of 5 days, the actors were stuck with the babies they'd engendered.
Kareem is a playwright, kind of down on his luck right now. Just came back from a workshop in Chicago where his play got completely trashed and destroyed in every way possible that you could ever think a playwright could have his play trashed.
Well, Henry is he's 19. He's from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And he's coming to Boston to find his mom and dad who moved away when he was 6. And he's been living with his grandparents. And he feels that now is the time to come and find his parents. And that's what he's doing.
Angie is a mother, which I can relate to. And she... has a very difficult relationship with her mother, which she has in many ways healed by getting married and becoming a mother herself. But then when it comes to the fact that her own mother is dying, she's coming to Boston to complete a circle in her life so that she can go on and be freed and not repeat anything and be a good mother to her children.
William is a fireman in his late 20s, and he has some issues with people. I guess one of his predominant characteristics that he keeps buried for the most part, I think, is his bigotry. I think he works real hard to keep that down because he knows how wrong it is. He's going to Boston because he's getting an award, a heroism award, for
for saving a family in a fire, and it's one of the first times where he's really felt some sort of recognition in his life for what he does.
My character, her name is Viola, and she is a 24-year-old Chinese girl. She moved to San Francisco to stay with her grandparents, and she was doing very well there. And she has a chance for an audition in Boston, and she heard about all the art, performing arts, and possibility for music in Boston. So she's moving to Boston, going to the audition, knowing that she's going to be all right for the audition.
Livia is a 31-year-old woman who is going through the process of in vitro fertilization because she can't have a baby by her own means. So she's made the decision to do it that way. Totally single and totally happy being single, but really wanting a baby, wanting to be a mother.
And that brings us back to the airport. How do you put 8 fascinating characters together into a play? Well, there's the tried-and-true device of the disaster movie. A bunch of demographically balanced characters get trapped in an airplane or a shopping mall as the aliens invade, leading to dramatic revelations and confronting their own life issues. We didn't quite go that route, although, yes, we did trap them.
What time is it?
I forgot my watch.
It's 2:10 a.m. God damn it. Quiet the stone.
Yes.
Where you headed?
For Boston, with luck.
Me too. Me too. What you doing there?
Visiting a friend.
Yeah, me. I'm visiting my sons.
Well, that's great.
I got 4 sons. I'm visiting 2. That's big.
Excuse me. It's really late, and some people are trying to sleep, so...
That's right. Hey! She gonna get upset behind that. She's trying to sleep.
No, there are other waiting areas over there. You could be all to yourself.
Thank you.
The setting came from my trip to Boston and a conversation with a flight attendant after a passenger had made some disturbance. So these characters were all coming to Boston. Their flight had landed in Rochester because of a drunken passenger and then been snowbound. Everybody else went off to the motel for the night, but these were the 8 passengers who opted to stay at the terminal in hopes of getting the earliest flight out, the people with a real need to get to the lost city of Boston. And on a realistic level, not much happens except just trying to snooze or make small talk to get through a long, long night.
Sweetheart, where are you from? You were Japanese.
No. I'm Chinese.
Chinese? What's your name? We all getting acquainted.
Viola.
Viola? That a Chinese name?
No, Viola is a character in Shakespeare. My parents wanted me to play the violin, so they named me Viola.
So what you do?
I play the violin.
Well, I'm going to the toilet and you play us a tune.
But on another level, Kareem, the playwright, is imagining, from just fragments of speech, who these people are, what's driving them, what scenes they might play out if strangers spoke.
Is that a gun?
I'm sorry, excuse me? No, it's my violin!
I saw a movie where they had a gun like that.
No gun.
What do you do with that?
I play it. Do you play an instrument?
Radio. You going to Boston?
Well, if the plan does.
Talk some Chinese.
We have a voice. I want to say, but I can't say. Because I said it, you don't understand. You want to listen to me speak? You want to listen to me speak? Because I'm going to play the piano.
What does that mean?
I say, how are you? I'm fine. What are you doing in Boston?
Well, I'm kind of looking for people. That's why I'm going to Boston and stay with them once I find them, because I'll find them. How do you find people?
Well, maybe the Yellow Pages.
Thanks. Arm and Hammer. Yeah. I got the idea. I was at work, the 6 to 12 shift, and one of the customers bought Arm & Hammer detergent, the big size, yellow. And I remembered you buying this yellow detergent. So I thought, I need to find you and Dad. So I worked 5 more months to save up, because Boston's a long way. And it was going to be a bus, but that takes too long. It had to be a plane. And my sculptures, because I need to make money. And I thought, you know, I need to have things for people to buy. And I thought they'd laugh at the funny ones and cry at the sad ones, and they'll buy them, and I'll have money. So, to find you, I didn't ask Grandma, because I didn't think she'd tell me, but I met this girl, and she said to look in the yellow pages. I saw you coming over the bridge. A lot of people, but I could tell because of the yellow coat. That was funny. It's good to see you, son. Henry, we couldn't wait for you to come. You're a good boy, Henry. We're proud of you. Give your mom a hug. So warm.
You're listening to Hitchhiking Off the Map.